In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. While preparing the sermon for the Feast of the Assumption, I came across the works of something I hadn't read in a long time, The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Wonderful works. I always have great respect for the writings of St. Alphonsus Liguori in every way. I mean, just an inspiring writer, and I think too many people have drifted away from his writings. He's written on so many important topics. They've drifted away from them because, well, they're old school, and so they want more modern, more update type things, and in that way, if you're trying to be traditional and get too updated and lose the flavor of what is traditional, then we get ourselves in trouble spiritually. But anyway, going to his book, The Glories of Mary, that he wrote on the Blessed Virgin Mary, various titles ever, and just wonderful explanations of them. He has two sermons on the Assumption, and there's one here. I mention all this because I'm going to give the credit to anything I'm going to say today to St. Alphonsus and the works that he has done. If I do anything, I'm just trying to explain, to move along the story and add a couple of other explanations along the way. I also mention it because St. Alphonsus Liguori is a doctor of the Church. And as such, we should have respect, more respect for his writings than what anybody else has written. I'm going to be giving you quotes from what Our Lady is reported to have said by tradition, as St. Alphonsus records for us, up to the time of when she died. It's been given as tradition as actual quotes of our Blessed Mother. I mention it because it's coming from St. Alphonsus Liguori. The Church has reviewed his writings twice, both when he was canonized as a saint and secondly when he was made a doctor of the Church, found no errors in them, so that when we have confidence then when we read that he says, this is the tradition that has come from the time of the apostles about what took place with our Blessed Mother in her life just before she died, or to use the more proper term, during before her dormition, her falling asleep and then waking up in eternity, if you will. I mention all that because I don't want to say this came from some internet blog or I just didn't invent it myself or read some story someplace. Some visionary supposed to say this is what Our Lady said. Now, St. Alphonsus is quoting from tradition. He uses the names of the people who have passed on the tradition. That's what gives it the strength for us to follow. And with that strength, put complete trust in it. And with that trust now, be edified and inspired by what it is Our Lady had done and what we need to have in our considerations for time of death. Now, St. Alphonsus Liguori begins the story by telling us these things. There are three things that make death bitter for people. The reason why they fear it, and because it's such a terror for them, especially when they want to die, or they plan to die, or sometimes, suppose you've had a family member that will be dying, and maybe the doctor or nurse will come out and say, well, I don't know if you're ready to, I don't know how to tell you this, but just spit it out. Well, because of these things here, your loved one only has this much time to live. We understand that. We understand it's part of our faith to know those things and to accept those things. But there are many other people who don't, and sometimes even the people who are dying. St. Alphonsus says there's three things that makes people run away and get afraid of death. First of all, they're too attached to the world. They don't want to give it up. All these pleasures and things like that, they don't in any way want to miss it. Secondly, they have a memory of their past sins. They're not comforted by the fact of having confessed their sins. Maybe they haven't confessed them or confessed them with the true sincerity they should have. And so the memory of those sins come back to bother them. Those who have confessed their sins know before God, once you've confessed your sins, they are forgiven and forgotten by God. So if they're forgotten by God, you should forget them too and not let them disturb your peace at the moment of death. And the third thing, St. Alphonsus says, the reason why death is so bitter for people is because they are uncertain of their salvation. They're not sure if they're going to save their souls. Some people laugh and joke, say, I'm going to hell. Doesn't matter. We need to pray and sacrifice for those people. But there are people there who definitely have uncertainty, and so they're squeamish. But if you receive the sacraments of the Church in a good disposition, if you've made your confession in peace with God, then apart from the usual things of human nature, rebelling at death, it should be overridden by the peace that we have in dying, because we know what the sacraments of the Church tell us. We are ready to die. Now, all that I've said about the bitterness of death, nothing of that was found in Mary, in her death. She died as she lived. She was detached from the things of the world. She died in perfect peace, and she died certain of eternal glory, that when she died, she would be able to see her son once again. So there's theological debate out there whether or not Mary truly died or just kind of fell asleep and then boom, went up to heaven. Or did she actually die? Even Pope Pius XII in his encyclical on the Assumption makes mention that Mary did die. And the reason why we say, the reason it's so big of an important thing and forget what theologians worry about, Jesus died. It's fitting then that Mary would too. Jesus died in agony because it was the will of his Father to make up for our sins. Mary died in peace, again, because it was the will of God, because she had no sin. She had done everything for God as she should in her life, and peaceful it should be. Yet, nevertheless, it is the part of men, all of us, to die, even as Jesus had done. So it's something to consider at that particular point, but we always use the term of her point of dying as a dormition, meaning that when she died, like I said, it was so peaceful, detached from the things of the world, perfect peace of heart and soul, and certain, absolutely certain, that she was going to be in eternal glory and with her son forever. Boy, what peace that brings. Now, here's what tradition tells us, according to St. Alphonsus, of the events that surround Mary's death. After the ascension, when Jesus ascended into heaven, body and soul, Mary remained there to be able to help the early church. She had learned much from Jesus. She had been the temple of the Holy Ghost and working with the Holy Ghost there, inspired in many particular ways. She would help remind the ones of what Jesus had taught. She would encourage them and comfort them, the apostles and disciples, in time of persecution or in time of doubt. She encouraged them especially to work for the salvation of souls and the greater honor and glory of God. All their work had to tend to that. If it didn't go in that direction, then it was prideful and useless and should have been nothing to do with it. And so the apostles and others went forth and do that for God's honor, for the salvation of souls. That's why they suffered. That's why they died. While Mary was waiting to be with her son again and being on earth and helping with others, she went from place to place throughout the Holy Land of the spots that are important there where Jesus had been in various events, some of which we read in the scriptures, many that are not in the scriptures. But she went from place to place, remembered the things that her son said and did, and just brought her comfort that way, as a mother being away from her son, longing to be with him again. Even spun through Jerusalem and seen all the various points, the spot of Bethlehem where he was given birth, all those things. She made pilgrimages and kept those thoughts alive. According to the tradition that St. Alphonsus is teaching us about here, and he gives again the names of those saints and others who are even themselves doctors of the church, who explain that this is tradition, what is taking place. He says that 3 days before Our Lady was to die, the angel Gabriel appeared to her. Now, that's the same angel appeared to her to announce to her she would be the mother of God. He came this time to explain to her that she would soon die. Some people would have taken that in great fright. She was happy with this. Here's what the angel said. Again, this has come down to us from tradition. My lady and my queen, God has heard your prayers and has sent me to tell you to prepare yourself to leave the earth, for he wills that you shall be with him in heaven. Come, therefore, take possession of your kingdom. All its holy inhabitants eagerly await and desire your arrival. Wow. Boy, I mean, just anybody who's afraid of dying or afraid of them, I've got too much else to do here, I can't go now or whatever, they would not have answered as Mary did to the angel Gabriel. She answered these words a second time. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. Man, the words of humility, the words of grace, they're just so wonderful to see her resigned to the work of God and happy to do whatever it is that God wishes her to do. Mary started to go see some of the places, the shrines in Jerusalem, that she could, because after she died, she wouldn't be able to see them again. She told St. John, remember St. John was given to her from the cross to be her protector. So she told him of all that she had heard. And others started to gather around her after they heard these things. And some were even protesting and saying, no, this can't happen. These were her words to them. My beloved children, because of love for you and in order to help you, my son left me on this earth. Our holy faith is now spread throughout the world. Already the fruit of the divine seed has sprung up. So my Lord, seeing that my presence on earth is no longer needed, and out of compassion for my grief and being separated from him, has graciously listened to my prayer that I may leave this life and go to him in heaven. But you must remain to work for his glory. Although I am leaving you, my heart remains with you. I shall always carry with me and cherish the great love I have for you. I go to paradise to pray for you. No, don't leave. No, don't leave. We need you here. So many others around her said, and she said, no, my children, this world, this would not be according to the will of God. Be content to do what he has decreed is best for me and for you. Your lot will be to remain on earth and work for the glory of your Redeemer, and thus weave for yourselves an eternal crown. I leave you, not in order to abandon you, but to help you even more in heaven by my intercession with my Son. Be satisfied with this. I commend Holy Church to you. I commend all redeemed souls to you. Let these be my last words of farewell and my last words of advice. If you love me, do what I tell you. Labor for the good of souls and the glory of my Son. One day, we shall all meet again in paradise, never to be separated for all eternity. Boy, inspiring words. It would have been a wonderful thing maybe to be present at that particular time, but that's not what God willed either. God willed all of us to be born at a different time and to go back and reflect upon these particular points. It's also part of this tradition that Jesus came to Mary and brought her viaticum, his own body giving to his mother in the way he decreed for all of us to be able to receive Holy Communion, especially at that last moment. And who knows, it could very well be that the tradition of Holy Viaticum might have begun with this. Viaticum is so important. You know, it's that strength that's given to the soul just before death. Viaticum in Latin is strength for journey, with you on the way, on the journey that you're about to take. A strength that no other person can give, the strength of Jesus Christ. Far too many times people call a priest in when somebody is about to die, when they have three toes in the grave. And by the time the priest gets there, the person is not coherent enough to either give the sacraments and know what's being said, but most of all, not to be able to receive communion. For the love of the souls of those you may be taking care of who are dying, get a priest in long before that so they can receive this viaticum, because it is the last time in their existence they can receive Almighty God into themselves. There is no Holy Communion in heaven. There isn't. Out of love for those souls, let them experience that strength one more time. And let them make that great and wonderful thanksgiving, knowing that this is the last time they will receive Jesus. And through that, be stronger day by day. After that, Our Lady had laid down. It was coming close to the end of the 3 days. People gathered around. Some were in tears, some were in joy from her. Maybe these were even tears of joy, who knows. Her last words to them were, goodbye, dear children, I bless you. Do not be afraid, I will never forget you. Wow. Boy, to have such words of consolation and have them come down to us in that time. We know Mary is there interceding for us. We understand that by our holy faith. But to read these words and to understand how much more greatly that she had sent that as her closing words, like a legacy to us. I will never forget you. I will pray for you. Honor me, and you will have all the strength you need. Boy. After she said that, there was some sweet music that was heard around, and she closed her eyes and died. Now, that's the... up to that, this particular point, St. Alphonsus records for us the tradition as it's been given by these holy ones who kept it all these centuries and kept it faithfully. There's also a Jerusalem tradition about what happened next. And this is the proof of the Assumption, the miracle of the Assumption. So many people had come and gathered together by the dormition bed of Mary, be present with her as she fell asleep in God and in such a peaceful and loving manner. Except one, St. Thomas. Thomas was always the one, seemed to be a little bit away from things at a time, and yet God used those instances to give us strong things and strong teachings. In this case, St. Thomas was almost not quite a day late. And according to the Jewish ritual, Mary was already buried in a sepulcher, in a tomb. And when St. Thomas came back and he pleaded with everyone, please let me see her one last time. just to gaze upon her, and that would be content with that, because I didn't have a chance to see her before they died. And so they consented to that point. They rolled back the door of the tomb, whatever it was, the stone, and St. Thomas went in there to come find the body, and it was gone. The body of the Blessed Virgin Mary had completely disappeared. Tradition says there's some flowers there and all those type of things, but the body was gone. No one knew who would steal the body of Mary. It wasn't stolen. It was gone. It was taken up into heaven. The promise that's there for eternal life, of union with soul and a glorified body to be in heaven for all eternity, that promise that is given to you and I, if we are faithful to the end, was fulfilled in Mary. It's such a wonderful thing that we think upon, this dogma, to know it's a dogma. It's an important aspect of our faith. Mary has assumed into heaven body and soul. Mary is there with her son. She is there also to intercede for us. That's why this feast day brings such great confidence, but it also teaches us how to die, how to prepare, that our death can be peaceful, let our life be peaceful in God, so that none of the bitterness of death will come upon us, save that which is human, that comforted by the graces that come from the sacraments and the encouragement of prayers and family and loved ones around us, we go on to God, ready, waiting, anxious, lovingly looking forward to the time to be with God. If you help to prepare people for death, if you ever find yourself preparing for death, reflect on the mystery of the Assumption. How to die well. How to die peacefully. Imitate Mary in this way. And what a grace, what a peaceful time death will be. The world is afraid of death. We should not be. Everything is given and before us to be, have peace and be strong at such a time. Pray to Mary for a good, holy, peaceful death. Every time you pray the fourth glorious mystery of the rosary, make that an extra intention. And one day, the grace you pray for in that mystery will be granted to you, and that peaceful death will be yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.